The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. And hello, America. Welcome to the Monkeypox Free Studios of the Todd Starnes radio program. We are fully inoculated. Here, welcome everybody, and we've got a great show for you. A lot going on, some weird stuff, and we're going to get to this monkeypox story, which now, by the way, apparently the word monkeypox is homophobic and racist, and we'll explain why. But I'm not sure they've come up with another term to describe monkeypox, but when they do, we will be certain to share that information with you here on the program. So a lot happening in the world of politics. This is it's a crazy primary week. And of course, we're paying very close attention to what's happening in the state of Georgia. As a matter of fact, we're going to be talking with Matt Towery, who is one of the top political analysts in all of America, top pollster. And Matt's going to drop by this hour of the program to talk about what's happening there in Georgia. President, by the way, Stacey Abrams, who is running for governor on the Democrat side, she hates you people in Georgia.
I am tired of hearing about being the best state in the country to do business, but we are the worst state in the country to live.
Yeah, it's the worst country in the nation to live in. The worst state, Georgia. That's what Stacey Abrams had to say. And I certainly hope that whoever gets the win on the GOP side will play that audio every single day. It's just like Michelle Obama and the whole debacle over this is the first time she was ever proud of her country. But I want to start today with this item that's blowing up on the social medias. President Trump is very active now on Truth Social, and the president over the weekend put out a tweet. He really liked a tweet regarding civil war, and a lot of people have been talking about that. Do we have a civil war brewing in this country? Are we on the verge of a civil war? So the president reshared a post on Truth Social that predicted a civil war in America. This is from Business Insider. Trump reposted a suggestion from MAGA King Thanos, who commented, what a great name, by the way, not just MAGA King, but Ultra MAGA King Thanos, who commented on a screenshot of a tweet from El Salvador's president. Now, that tweet said, the most powerful country in the world is falling so fast that it makes you rethink what are the real reasons. Something so big and powerful can't be destroyed so quickly unless the enemy comes from within. Now, it's a great point. I mean, I want you to step back for just a moment and let's, yes, we all understand and agree that the President of the United States has the mental capacity of cottage cheese. We have talked about that. And through no fault of his own, the man is old and decrepit. We also understand that Kamala Harris is dumber than a block of bricks. I mean, Lord love her, bless her heart, but she's got no brain up there, leading many people to wonder how in the world did she move up the political food chain so fast? And there are many theories abounding out there. So we get that. But is it possible for a country to turn this big into a dumpster fire in this short amount of time? Is it possible for that to happen naturally, or has this been intentional? And I contend that there may be something, and there may be some truth here in this tweet, that there are forces within our own government that are working to topple this great country. And I say that because of a brief item that Joe Biden talked about just a few days ago when he was talking. He was talking about the price of gasoline, and he talked about how we are in a transition. That is the word, a transition. The gas prices, upwards of, what, $6, $7 a gallon in some parts of America, well on its way to $10 a gallon. And Biden, when he was asked about this, he said, no, this is part of a transition, and the transition is going to be difficult. So what is that transition he's talking about? Well, it's very clear. He's talking about the transition from gas-fueled cars to electric cars. That's what that's all about. And they want to make this as painful as possible for you, the average American citizen. They want you to feel the pain. So this is part of some sort of a plan, and it may not be Biden's plan. It may be Barack Hussein Obama's plan or Susan Rice's plan or George Soros's plan, but it's somebody's plan to squeeze the American people. So the question here is this: will there be a civil war in America? Now, I will say this. I will go out on that limb and answer that question. It really depends on the outcome of the midterm elections. Now, I think every person on this planet agrees that the Democrats are going down in flames in the midterms, and it's going to be apocalyptic for the Democrats. If the Republicans, let's just say the Republicans don't screw this up, the Republicans embrace an America First agenda, and the Republicans, they don't abandon Trump, but they embrace the agenda. The Republicans, if they do that, win in massive landslides. I mean, you could see the Democrat Party completely decimated. That's what will happen if the Republicans stick to the game plan. But if the Republicans do stick to this game plan, and then all of a sudden the Democrats pull out the big win on Election Day, then I think we're going to have problems in this country. Because there's no way humanly possible, there's no way politically possible for the Democrats to maintain control of the House and the Senate. There's just not. So that would tell me that once again the election was stolen, and at that point, all bets are off. Now, you may think this is hyperbole on my part, but I'm telling you, if the Democrats maintain control of the House and the Senate, that tells me that the election was rigged and stolen again. And I got a problem with that. And I suspect most Americans will have a problem with that. And when you look at things through that lens, it's a very good question, and it's one we should be having a conversation about. And let me give you a great example. We still do not know who won the Senate race in the GOP primary in Pennsylvania. They had plenty of time to get all this sorted out. How is it that in the United States of America, you can't figure out who won the election? How is that humanly possible? 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. And we're going to be taking your calls on that. Do you believe, as President Trump re-shared on True Social, do you believe that the United States is being destroyed from within? And quite frankly, we could be looking at another civil war. ToddStearns.com is our website. And folks, we've got some great stories up from over the weekend. And you just so if you haven't been paying that much attention to what's been going on over the weekend, don't worry. We've been all over it. And you can follow those stories over at ToddStearns.com. So look, here's the deal. We're going to take a break. When we come back, going to the phone lines, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stearns Show.
Welcome to the Todd Stearns Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
All right, people, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Great to have you with us today. Let's go to the phones Jerry, Oak Ridge, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM, our flagship station. All right, Jerry, what do you think about this notion that America could be headed to a civil war?
I think, thanks for taking my call. And you and I spoke a couple weeks ago, and I think we're on the pathway to a civil war now. I think that the balloting, I went and saw 2,000 Mules with Dinesh D'Souza's thing and all the fake ballots and all this mail-in stuff. I think that half the country would want to go ahead with mail-in ballots. I think half the country doesn't. And I think that being the case, in the November election, no matter what happens, millions and millions of people are going to be unhappy and not trusting things, especially after you've seen that movie 2,000 Mules. And I think we're lucky in as much as we have a canary in the coal mine. Tomorrow, the Alaska primary is being held, and Lisa Murkowski is running against Kelly Tshuba, or that's her name, is something like that. And even the Republicans in Alaska agreed to have all mail-in balloting. And even if you want to vote in person, you can't. You have to vote by mail. This is a scam. It's just as Dinesh D'Souza. And I think what we're going to find tomorrow is that if Murkowski wins, the fix is in. But if Kelly pulls it out, we may have a chance in November. And I think that's when it starts. Tomorrow.
Jerry, there's no reason why the American people cannot get up, go and stand in a line and cast a ballot. They stand
Absolutely.
In a line. And by the way, you've got some of these activist groups out there saying, well, it's racist. It's discriminatory. Jerry, these are the same people that will stand in a line for 3 days to get the newest kind of tennis shoe coming out or some sort of an Apple product. If you can stand in line for a tennis shoe or a smartphone, you can stand in line for, 45 minutes to an hour to go and cast your ballot.
And while you're standing in line for your new phone, you got to show an ID to start service.
Yes, you do. You're absolutely right about that. So, yeah, I don't think this would be a shooting civil war, but there clearly you are going to have states, and they've already started having these discussions in Texas about pulling out of the union. And I would not be surprised, Jerry, if we continue to see voter fraud on a massive scale. You're going to have more of these conversations happening across the country.
I agree 100%. You're right. It won't be a shooting war, but as far as a not a shooting war, we're halfway there now. You know, with what DeSantis is doing, with what Abbott's doing in Texas. You know, Lee hasn't. He doesn't get the TV time, but he's done a great job. You know, Kemp and Perdue. You know, whoever gets it, it's still going to be very, very red.
Well, you know, Jerry, the problem, and let me tell you, you think Alaska is a big deal. Not so much Georgia in the primary, but that vote on Election Day come November, that's going to be massive, massive. And if Stacey Abrams, who, by the way, just came out and announced that she hates the state of Georgia, it's the worst state to live in, if she somehow manages to beat, you know, whoever the nominee is going to be, again, I think it's another warning sign.
Absolutely.
All right, Jerry, appreciate the call. Let's go to Chattanooga, Tennessee. Mike, listening to us on Nuga Radio, our great affiliate there. All right, Mike, what say you, sir?
Thank you, Todd. Yeah, 96.9 and now 99.7 in Nuuwa. But a great topic. I've pondered this question for literally 40 years. And I also blame the person looking in the mirror. We need to rally together. But here's what concerns me. If there is violence, I would ask you, who are you going to shoot? Are you going to shoot your neighbor? Are you going to shoot the cop on the street that could be a family member? Are you going to shoot that young boy that just joined the military? I mean, who are you going after? To win, you need noncompliance. I refuse to comply. I refuse to recognize your authority. And if everyone does that, the founders found the nation for noncompliance. It wasn't a matter of who do I vote for to get the most stuff. And that's what it's about today. Franklin said, we've given you a republic if you can keep it. So we have to be involved. We have to be interactive. And by just saying no, is almost enough. And to take it back, 100 million people have to show up January 6th, 2 years from now, at their state legislatures. It'll be taken back locally. Remember, we're 50 countries. We're not one. We're 50. Who are you going after in Washington? It's a bureaucracy. Can I read something from Patrick Henry just quickly?
Very quickly. Very quickly,
okay,
Mike.
I'll do this quickly if you need to cut me off.
Quickly.
Cut me off, okay, if you need to. But
let's go.
Prior to the revolution, he said, there is no longer any room for hope if we wish to be free, if we mean to preserve inviolate those rights for which we have so long contended. We must fight. I repeat, sir, we must fight. An appeal to arms and to God of hosts is all that is left to us. March 23rd, 1775. And he wrote that because they denied his petitions, our petitions, for redress of grievance. They arrested us, sent us to foreign nations. They spit on us like the federal government is doing now. And he said, we have no hope. Have we gotten there? That's the question. Have we gotten there in 2022?
And we will soon find out. I'm telling you that the election of 2022 will, the midterms will decide the future of this country in more ways than one. But this concerns me, Mike, when you look at what's happening in Pennsylvania right now, they still have no idea who the GOP nominee is going to be for the U.S. Senate race.
Well, you know, the fraud of elections, I'm from Philadelphia, where everyone knows that it was a fraud back then. Look in Chicago. It's now because of social media coming to light. But this has been going, they've been getting away with this for 100 years. It's got to stop.
It does. I mean, you're absolutely right. Mike, got to run. Appreciate the call. And we love our great affiliate in Chattanooga. We love all of our Nuga listeners in Chattanooga, Tennessee. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Now, folks, coming up, we're going to be chatting with Matt Towery, who is one of the top pollsters across the nation, specifically looking at the Georgia race and how things are looming between Brian Kemp and David Perdue. Now, I know we have a lot of listeners across the state of Georgia. Has your opinion changed? Who are you voting for? Who is your person in that race? President Trump, the reporting is that President Trump is no longer supporting Perdue. President Trump came out and said, no, that's not true at all. He is still supporting David Perdue in spite of the polling data, which suggests Kemp is going to win in a landslide. So we're going to get into that with him, and we'll be taking your calls also on Herschel Walker, who is running for the U.S. Senate and looks like a shoe-in in that particular race. Candace Taylor. We told you last week we were going to get Candace Taylor on the show. She is going to be here. She's catching a lot of fire because of her campaign bus, which says God Guns, or was it Jesus Guns Babies? That's her campaign slogan. And quite frankly, I think it's a brilliant campaign slogan because that's what it's really all about. Protecting the Second Amendment, restoring our traditional American values, one nation under God, and protecting the unborn, and that particular right goes right back to the states if Roe v. Wade is in fact overturned. And by the way, the Supreme Court putting out some rulings today, Roe v. Wade was not one of them, so we're still going to have to wait for that ruling. Also, the Coach Kennedy prayer on the football field, we're still waiting for the court to weigh in on that decision as well. All right, we've got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Well, I don't have to tell you folks, America is facing huge challenges. Soaring inflation, alarming crime rates, the worsening crisis at our southern border, and radical ideas being forced on our children. Folks, it's time to join forces with an organization that loves America. AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens, is America's conservative 50-plus organization. My friends at AMAC are action-oriented and fight every day to represent your interest on Capitol Hill with the AMAC Advocacy Team. So join today. Go to amac.us/starnes.
and start receiving amazing benefits like discounts on travel, cell phones, and restaurants, all while fighting to preserve America and the causes that conservatives care about. For just $16 a year, you can join forces with AMAC and 2.3 million Americans who share your values. I'm a proud member of AMAC, and you can be one too. Go to amac.us/darns and join or renew today.
All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show, border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. Big doings in Georgia tonight. President Trump is holding a tele-rally tonight for Senator David Perdue. Former Vice President Mike Pence is going to hold a rally in Cobb County, Georgia, for Governor Brian Kemp. Now, to help us figure out what the heck is going on, we're going to be checking with our good friend Matt Towery in just a matter of moments. But the polling shows that Brian Kemp is above 50%, could be facing a runoff. We'll see how that goes. You know, let's check in with our good buddy Joe from LJ, who I know is a big David Perdue fan. Joe, welcome to the program.
Thank you, my friend. Todd, I think the Matt's coming on in a few minutes, and he just released a new poll that showed the Fox poll showed Kemp with 60%. In the Matt Towery poll that just came out, he's dropped down to 52%, and David Perdue in the Fox poll was 28%. In the new Matt Towery poll, he's 38%. So I think the momentum is really moving big for David Perdue, and I predict that David will get in the runoff. He will defeat Brian Kemp, and then he will defeat Stacey Abrams. And so I'm really fired up. I'm calling everybody I've known since I'm 5 years old, tell them to vote for David. So I think we got the big mo, Todd, and I've been listening, interested to what Matt has to say, but I believe David Perdue will win this thing. And I want to urge everybody to go vote. Whether you're, it doesn't matter who you're for, if you live in Georgia, be sure to cast a vote. Right?
And Joe, that is great advice. And I do want to go right now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and our good friend from Insider Advantage. We've got our friend Matt Towery with us, who's one of the top pollsters, top political analysts in America. Matt, good to have you back with us.
Thanks, Todd.
This has got to be like Christmas Day for you. I mean, this is a pretty fun, it has been contentious race, but you've got a lot happening there in Georgia tomorrow.
Well, we do. It's been Christmas Day the last few weeks between Pennsylvania and the other various races we've been polling for the Fox affiliates. So we've been pretty busy. Georgia has been very confusing because you're getting a lot of polling that shows that this is a blowout. My poll shows that it's not quite a blowout, that it's a little closer race. We don't know who's right. Turnout models are a little bit different. It's hard to get people to tell you whether or not they're supporting an incumbent governor or not. Support Trump is endorsed. So it's a very confusing race. I live in Florida now, and I kid everyone, I used to, in fact, serve in the Georgia legislature, which very few people who see me know. But I tell all my friends that when I cross into Georgia now, they need to change the sign to say, welcome to the state of chaos, because it seems like our election are nothing but chaos now.
Yeah, it's now in Georgia, are Democrats allowed to vote in the Republican primaries?
Yes, they are. There's no registration by party, and so you basically can vote in whichever primary you choose to deem yourself appropriate to participate in.
So how big of an impact do you think that's going to have tomorrow, those Democrats wanting to, what was it Rush Limbaugh called back in the day, Operation Chaos?
Yeah, exactly. It gets back to my comment about the sign. You know, I don't think that's going to play a big role. We're either going to see one of two things, Todd. We're either going to see that, in reality, the massive amount of money that Brian Kemp has run, and by the way, he had a very successful legislative session. If I were putting together a package to then run on TV, I would have basically done what Brian did. So we're going to see whether that and the money that he has behind him versus the Trump endorsement and the forces that are trying to preserve the MAGA vote and the presence in Georgia. We're going to see which one actually wins out here. I don't expect, obviously, Perdue to win this thing. There is a chance, however, for it to go into a runoff, and I know I'm probably the lone pollster out there saying that, but I've pulled a lot of races in Georgia, and I've learned when it comes to something that Donald Trump's involved with, you have to go the extra mile to get the voters to tell you exactly what they're really going to do.
Man, I was asked by the president to speak at the Georgia rally up in Commerce, and a couple of things. I was surprised by the smaller turnout. It wasn't a huge, huge crowd, and a lot of that maybe had to do with the weather. It was bad weather. But what really struck me is when Senator Perdue was introduced to the crowd, he was given polite applause compared to Herschel Walker, which, you know, he got the thunderous applause. Should we read anything into that?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think David Perdue has become the darling of Republicans in Georgia ever. It just isn't his personality to be overly effusive or the like. That having been said, this is really a battle. Well, in my opinion, it's a battle between Mike Pence and Donald Trump. The Pence organization, I think, has had a pretty substantial hand in a lot of things going on in this race. I think they feel like they can make a statement that Trump no longer matters. I don't think that'll be a fair statement, in fact, if Kemp should win, because one of the problems you had is that Perdue didn't put any substantial money into his own race. I mean, they were dark on television for the last 2 weeks. And when's the last time you saw a candidate running for a major office whose campaign didn't run any ads? So that was a difficult situation for the president, because the president then, of course, this is now being reported, funded various PACs to keep Perdue alive, in essence. So whether that's enough at the last minute, we're going to see. But the president is clearly more popular than any of these candidates. He's running about 70 to 75% approval rating in Georgia, favorability now because he's not president anymore. And any of these names that you would throw out there are not. Now, I will say about Herschel, someone was interviewing me from a major newspaper today and said, well, you know, Herschel Walker isn't all that well known. I said, whoa, stop there. I said, Herschel Walker is the closest thing we have to a human deity in the state of Georgia. And if they don't realize that, they need to go to Georgia 101 all over again. Herschel does get phenomenal response from the crowds, and I think he's doing a good job, too. His issue will be, can he withstand the incredible degree of attack he's going to get from the Atlanta newspaper and from the Democrats just as soon as he gets the nomination?
No, that's a great question. And again, I know from a strategy standpoint why they didn't want him to debate in the Republican primaries. I hope that doesn't come back to bite him if, in fact, there are debates, you know, as we head into the general.
Yeah, you know, Todd, I was of the opinion that he should have debated.
Me too.
I was a nominee for lieutenant governor back eons ago when Republicans couldn't win, and I had to debate, and I had to debate against an incumbent senator who went on to become lieutenant governor. That's the sort of thing you have to do. It's a baptism by fire, but you hate to do it with, you know, 2 weeks to go or 2 weeks before early voting. And certainly those panels are always hostile to a Republican, particularly if they'll beat up to Herschel. That said, I've been very pleased with the progress I've seen Herschel make. His ability to stay on top of these issues, he's a very bright guy. And he really does understand the issues cold. Now, whether or not he's going to be able to get that across because he hasn't had that experience remains to be seen.
Meanwhile, you've got Stacey Abrams making some headlines saying Georgia's the worst state to live in. I hope whoever the nominee is will be using that in their campaign advertisement around the clock.
Well, you know, I don't really. Stacey's a very bright woman. I've known her for years, and I was shocked when she said that because it didn't seem like something that was with the, you know, she's so careful. She wouldn't get near Joe Biden when Biden came to talk about elections, her favorite subject in Georgia. So she's usually a pretty skilled politician. There may be some method to her madness, but I don't know what the method is right now. That was a clear mistake, in my opinion.
Is that going to be a tough race for the Republicans, or is it going to be a landslide, you think?
Well, let me put it to you this way, Todd. I make her the favorite right now, regardless of who gets the nomination. Here are the reasons why. Georgia's demographics have really been shifting towards the Democratic Party for the last 5 years, and I mean at a rapid rate. The second thing you have going is you have an African-American on the gubernatorial side nominee for the Democrats and U.S. Senate. You're going to have maximum African-American vote participation. The question will be, can some of that vote be sheared away? We certainly are seeing President Biden not get anywhere near the degree of approval that he, that other Democrats get from the African-American community when we poll nationally for Real Clear Politics. And in Walker's case, here's an interesting tidbit. So everyone believes that this Roe v. Wade thing is going to energize the Democrats, and it may well do so. I think that's what the leak was designed to do. But that having been said, Herschel Walker and his pro-life stance may actually get him votes in this particular race, because we find a substantial number of African-American voters who are older like pro-life candidates, except they'll usually end up going for the Democrat unless they have a compelling reason. Herschel Walker himself is a compelling reason. It's why he's been going to every black church in the state for the last 6 months. So I think Herschel may be able to break through. I think it's going to be very difficult for Kemp or Perdue, because particularly in Kemp's case, you're going to have a 10% of the Republican Party that simply will not vote for him. Now, hopefully if he gets the nomination, he can overcome that. But right now, I'd say about 10% just will either not turn out to vote, not vote for him, or vote for someone else.
I wonder if you if there is some sort of, if Kemp is the guy, if there's some sort of a big come to Jesus meeting, all is forgiven, and Trump gets out there on the campaign trail for him, or if that train's already left the station.
Well, you know, I've known Brian for years. I like Brian. He truly is the first true full Republican governor Georgia's ever had, because he was never a Democrat who switched. He actually stayed, grew up as a Republican. But that said, Brian is also notoriously stubborn. And I don't know that Brian will be willing to accept Trump's assistance, even though it's offered. And I don't know what Trump would do. That's the big million-dollar question. The question is, are they going to have that bridge to cross, or are they going to have to deal with a runoff first, which I know the whole world is written off. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I'd give a 25% chance that everyone wakes up and finds out, whoops, they got it wrong, and this thing is a lot closer than anyone thought.
All right. Great stuff. It's going to be it'll be interesting tomorrow as those folks head to the polls. Matt, we appreciate your great insight.
Always happy to be with you, Todd. Take care.
All right, the great Matt Towery, and we have links to Matt's information on our live show blog over at toddstearns.com. So there you have it, folks. Matt Towery suggesting we could be in the works for a runoff between Brian Kemp and David Perdue. What's interesting about Georgia is that the Democrats can vote in the Republican primary. So will there be enough Democrats that jump in? Who do they vote for? Are they going to throw their support behind Perdue? Are they going to throw their support behind Brian Kemp? And the bigger question, the broader question is, what will happen post-primary if it is, in fact, Kemp? Will Trump step in and throw his support behind Kemp so we can beat Stacey Abrams in the general election? A lot of factors at play moving into that big primary tomorrow in the state of Georgia, and it will be a bellwether. By the way, you've got the Trump team now openly attacking Vice President Mike Pence. Trump spokesperson Taylor Budowich says that Mike Pence is desperate to chase his lost relevance. So clearly Pence, moving into Georgia, is trying to throw his political weight around and trying to make some sort of a path for the 2024 presidential race. And if looking at this at face value, Pence is going to be the establishment Republicans guy. Even though Pence is not establishment Republican, he's conservative and he's an evangelical. But it looks as though the establishment wing is going to embrace Pence, especially if he's able to come off with a victory in Brian Kemp in Georgia on Tuesday. So we'll see how all this plays out. But clearly, lots of bad blood between the Trump campaign and the Pence team. All right, 844-747-8868. That's our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Big news. A recent study finds Americans do not trust big media. Americans like me, though, we found a source that we do trust. It's Newsmax. I watch Newsmax TV, use the free Newsmax app on my smartphone. Nielsen says almost 7 million cable viewers watch Newsmax, but not Fox News. News, millions really are making the switch to Newsmax. So start your mornings with Wake Up America, Rob Finnerty, and you can finish the night with Rob Schmidt. He tells you the real news with no spin. And on the weekends, you got Mike Huckabee, Diamond and Silk, Sebastian Gorka, much more. You can find Newsmax on all major cable systems, and you can also download the Newsmax app on your smartphone. More than 20 million Americans made the switch to the news source they can trust, Newsmax.
There's no doubt the nation is facing a financial crisis because of the Biden administration's economic policies. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and no doubt our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. Now, if all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It's real, physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold, and they can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship the gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Did you know $1 million worth of gold can actually fit inside a shoebox? Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. That's legacypminvestments.com.
All right, let's go to the phones here. Chattanooga, Tennessee, Dino, listening to us on Nuga Radio. All right, Dino, what's going on?
Well, if we do have a conflict, the Democrats can't use any of the weapons that they banned. That'll be rule number one. Stacey Abrams is an educated idiot. She was number one in her class at Yale. You can believe that.
Well, that doesn't say a lot about Yale. Not exactly the brightest bulbs in the lamp up there in the Ivy League.
Oh, stop that. Yeah, that's
well, I think we lost. Dino, do we have you?
Yeah, I believe I'm still here.
All right, go ahead.
Hello? Yeah, just remember, it's Mom and Dad, not Tom and Brad. Thank you very much.
Okay. All right. Yeah, we got it. We got it. Thank you, Dino. This story from Breitbart. I don't know, folks. It's Monday. This is the actual headline. The United Nations scolds homophobic and racist monkeypox coverage. Now, what do they mean by that? Because I'm stunned. This is the first I'm hearing that people have been anti-gay and anti-black because of using the term monkeypox, which is now spreading at a pretty steady clip across the world. By the way, you folks in Florida, there's a report now, monkeypox showing up in Florida. According to Breitbart, the United Nations AIDS agency called UNAIDS denounced some reporting on the monkeypox virus as racist and homophobic. And according to the reporting, so this is why it's homophobic. The reporters, the journalists, are actually saying that most of the cases have been among gay, bisexual, and other men who have sex with men. And they're saying that that kind of reporting is homophobic. Now, it just seems to me, and again, it's, I don't know, I've been blessed by Almighty God with a healthy dose of common sense. But let's just step back for a second. If you've got a bunch of white people, and the white people come down with the China virus, all right? And the reporting is that that a large number of white heterosexuals, let's add white heterosexuals, a large number of white heterosexuals have come down with the China virus. Would you not want to include that in your reporting so that you could be alert, be aware? Does that make you somehow heterophobic? Does it make you anti-white? No, I don't think so. That just seems like common sense to me. You've got monkeypox going on out there, and most of the people coming down with it are from a certain demographic of people. That's not condemning that demographic of people. It's just saying, hey, heads up, beware. And by the way, the term monkey, and that's people are going bonkers over this. Monkeypox was named monkeypox because the original pox was found in a monkey back in the 1950s. has nothing to do with anything else. But you know what? Here in critical race theory America, everything is racist, including apparently monkeypox. All right, got to take a break here, folks. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. If you are looking for MyPillow, you will not find it in the big box stores. And the reason why? It's pretty awful. MyPillow's been canceled by the cancel culture mob. And that's why Mike Lindell wants to sell directly to you. And that comes with some great savings. You're going to be able to get the lowest price in the history of MyPillow for their classic standard pillow. Normally $69.98, now only $19.98 with the promo code STARNS. MyPillow does more than just pillows. They have over 150 products. Everything from sleepwear to slippers, even doggy beds and human beds. Go to MyPillow.com/STARNS. That's MyPillow.com/STARNS. And use the promo code STARNS or call 800-544-8939. That's MyPillow.com/STARNS or call 1-800-544-8939. Use the promo code STARNS.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. So delighted to have you hanging out with us today. Go ahead and write down our telephone number. You will need this if you want to call into the program this hour, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Coming up a little bit later on, we're going to be chatting with Gary Black, who is, believe it or not, the true MAGA conservative running in the Senate race there in Georgia. And had it not been for Herschel Walker jumping in, Black would have been the guy. He is a longtime conservative politician in Georgia, so we're going to be talking with him. And coming up a little bit later, Candace Taylor. Again, this is she's running for Georgia governor, and we could very well see a possible runoff. Ms. Taylor is gaining steam, and people seem very attracted to her pro-life message out on the campaign trail. That, and she's not a career politician. She is, in fact, an educator, and a lot of people are pretty excited about that. Again, ToddStarnes.com. We have some great stories up there, and we're about to post this crazy. Have you heard about this crazy story that happened this morning at Newark Airport in New Jersey, where an ex-NFL player, a guy by the name of Brendan Langley, was arrested? The guy was charged with simple assault. He beat the holy living daylights out of a gate agent, a ticket agent, there in the airport. So anyway, the video is insane. But what's really bizarre about the story is that the ticket agent kept coming back for more. And it was a brutal, bloody beatdown there at the Newark airport. I think people are just, they're tired, they're angry, they're frustrated. 2 years of shutdowns and lockdowns have really done a number on the psychology of this country. And by the way, you better get ready because more are coming. There are reports coming out of New York and Washington that the government may, in fact, implement more lockdowns. If not over the China virus, they'll be locking people down over the monkeypox that is now beginning to spread all over the world. And, man, that's a nasty-looking disease right there, monkeypox. So we'll see. Again, Breitbart reporting to mind your language because the United Nations is very upset if you point out that the people getting monkeypox are, in fact, members of the LGBT community, specifically gay men who are coming down with this horrible affliction. And the UN says that it's homophobic to mention that a specific demographic is coming down with monkeypox. And it's also racist because of the term monkeypox, even though that's what they've been calling monkeypox since the 1950s when they found the monkeypox virus in what, ladies and gentlemen? Yes, a monkey. God forbid anybody. Yeah, folks, you just can't make this stuff up. But this is where we are in America right now. All right. I want to get back to this story. There is a deep chasm now forming between Donald Trump and Mike Pence. This is from TheHill.com. They're reporting on Trump's spokesman, who is now telling The New York Times that Mike Pence is desperate to chase his lost relevance amid rising tensions between the two former allies. The Times article is about Pence laying the groundwork for a potential 2024 bid. By the way, let me stop there. Who do you support for 2024? Have you already started thinking ahead? You know, a lot of people who are diehard Trump supporters now say Trump needs to call it a day. He needs to step down or step aside and let Ron DeSantis have the nomination. I don't think that's going to happen. I think Trump is going to be the guy. And honestly, tomorrow, whatever happens tomorrow in Georgia, I don't think that's on Trump. I don't think this comes back to blowback on Donald Trump. You're going to win some, you're going to lose some. And that's what's happening in Georgia right now. I mean, David Perdue clearly did not have a good strategy going into whatever is going to happen tomorrow. And it may be close. It may be close. But Kemp has been pouring millions of dollars into advertising there in Georgia. So anyway, Mike Pence is certainly laying the groundwork. He's relocated all of his efforts to South Carolina, and it looks as though he is building the campaign apparatus to run for president in 2024. Again, a Trump spokesperson, Taylor Budowich, said the former Indiana governor was set to lose a governor's race in 2016 before he was plucked up and his political career was salvaged. I mean, this is true. This is absolutely true. Mike Pence was in political trouble, and a lot of people were surprised when he picked Mike Pence. But one of the reasons that Trump picked Mike Pence is because Mike Pence is an evangelical Christian. And Donald Trump needed to bolster that side of his political campaign. And that's why he picked Mike Pence. Quote, now desperate to chase his lost relevance, Pence is parachuting into races, hoping someone is paying attention, Budowich said. The reality is President Trump is already 82-3 with his endorsements, and there's nothing stopping him from saving America in 2022 and beyond. Pence fell out of favor with Trump after the 2020 election, which the former president continues to claim was stolen. Pence, who had to be ushered to a safe location by Secret Service agents during the January 6 riot at the Capitol, was lambasted by Trump supporters for pushing to certify the election results and saying the former president was wrong to claim the election was stolen. There you go. So who do you support in 2024? The conversations are already being had. 844-747-8868. Let's go to Memphis, Tennessee. Faith on the line, listening to us on our flagship station, KWAM. Faith, what say you? Who do you like?
As I told you when I called last Friday, it's going to be Trump. But here's my thing. I'm not saying Trump is not a flawed person. I believe in the power of prayer, and I have been interceding in prayer, me and my family, since 2015. And I'm a proud Christian who just happens to be black that voted for Trump. And when I see him getting off, I do what Christians are supposed to do, pray, intercede. And it's the same for Mike Pence. I don't dislike Mike Pence. I don't like what he did. I think he was caught between a rock and a hard place with everybody around him. And I don't think he's really populist. And I think there's an animus between populist candidates. MAGA candidates, ultra-MAGA candidates, and it's not just a Democrat thing, it's a Democrat and GOP thing, and, you know, to me, they've both been working hand-in-hand, one just a little bit more quietly when they exposed themselves on January 6th, thinking that Trump was done, but I think the GOP was working more underhandedly, quietly against Trump, but it's against populism. But to the point of Ron DeSantis and Trump, I often see this a lot on message boards and other conversations. When people, when things don't go their way, not everybody, but they cry like a baby and like a two-year-old. But Trump and DeSantis is a man without the baggage. I think that's very crass. And I say that because no person does not have baggage. Yes, Ron DeSantis is doing great now. He's becoming more populist now. But you have to look at his record of the stuff he put in place in Florida. He supported lockdowns as well. I don't know. Depends on what side of the aisle you're on with Ukraine and Russia. What he, him sending weapons over there is going to make a determination of whether you pro him or pro not. But you don't have to degenerate one person's character to uplift another. You can both like Ron and President Trump, but in my view, if God has his hands still on President Trump, and I believe he does, it doesn't matter how many people you like, his hands are still going to be there. But I do think that especially younger voters, kind of like Mike Cernovich and the other people on Twitter and Will Chamberlain, even Ben Shapiro to that degree, they get on these tangents about Ron DeSantis. It's like they're intentionally trying to put animus there. He needs a hard primary. I don't care about none of that stuff because, to me, people like Mike Cernovich, they're very disrespectful anyway. He talks about President Trump real bad, and he knows Donald Trump Jr. is following him on Twitter, and I think that's very crass as well.
Faith, let me jump in here for a second. Let me jump in and ask you a question. As a black conservative in the Memphis area, which is a majority-minority city, are you seeing people within your community making the switch and saying, hey, wait a second, the Democrats aren't doing anything for us, and maybe we do need to be looking at another party?
Yes. And for my family, not all, but the portion of the family, they end up switching and voting for Donald Trump, not because they've risen in love with his personality, but they had to look at it in the spirit. But outside of that, I do see people who, I know people who quietly voted for Donald Trump would say anything on Facebook, anything else, because they would have experienced what I experienced. And in 2015, when I said, I see God giving this to Donald Trump, he showed me this. You know, people treated me like a nut job, and they told me that the Ku Klux Klan deserved to hang me from a tree and disembowel me. These are people that I've known since I was little, not people who just happened to be black and off somewhere else. So the sentiment is strong, but I have seen a shift. It's just a lot of people are more quiet about it because they understand the cultural implications, not just in their personal circles, but in their church circles. And if Republicans, true conservatives, people who are Christian, who just happen to be conservative, if they really want a movement, they're going to have to go to these churches, because I'm going to tell you over and over again, Democrats have, like Hillary Clinton, what had me sold in the Democratic Party, was not their policies. I'm like, well, when Bishop Patterson was living, she would come and visit, even when she wasn't supposedly running for office. And you see that presence there, and they look at that as, you really like us, you really love us, it's not about politics. Republicans are going to have to, who really are meaningful Christians or who are really meaningful constitutionalists, are going to have to do the hard work, face the fear, get some backlash, and go and to hear what people's voices are. Because Democrats have been shucking and jiving in churches, going back to Margaret Sanger, approaching preachers to get her abortion stuff going. They go to the churches first. And I don't hardly ever see conservatives go to churches that happen to be black. They're going to have to go in. They're going to have to get to know the people. They're going to have to be able to touch hearts and change minds, even if it's just a starting off as a mustard seed. They're going to have to do that. And that's what
in Memphis, great advice.
I'm seeing that. It's just not public. It's changing. It's just not public.
No, I'm with you. Faith, I remember years ago, I was talking to, this is back when Romney was the nominee. We were talking to the pastor of one of the largest churches in the Chicago area, which happened to be Hispanic. And the pastor said, you know what? We would get calls all the time from the Democrats, but not a single person from the Romney campaign bothered to call. And he said, and his point was, you know what? Yeah, we have a lot of Democrats, but we have a lot of Republicans. And, you know, we've got a lot of people that are believers that would love to be able to hear that message from someone like Mitt Romney. But if the Republicans don't show up, then they're not going to be able to win hearts and minds.
You're right. I think the consensus is on their mindset, don't bother trying to reach areas that's not reachable. I said, that's where you got it wrong. Democrats, what they've done right, although for more reasons, is that they a long time ago started planting seeds. That's why you see the foolishness you see now. We will have to get in there and start planting seeds. And just don't think about the short term. Look at the long term. Because when I look at this Memphis City Council now, people tend to vote for race. I hate to say that. But they don't understand that these are not the same typical old school blue dot Democrats that they know of. These are hyper left, hyper progressive, hyper communism, hyper socialist. They own the hyper side of everything that they shouldn't be. And so when they are looking at skin color, some of them get confused, like, why are they supporting this? Why are they supporting transgenderism? Why are they supporting that? I'm like, you're going to have to look under the hood. So you have people who are now ready to look under the hood, but there's a big distrust, I think, partly because it's not all about white people being distrustful. I think people are people.
Agreed.
I think that we have gotten the wrong impression of each other for so long, and we are with walking in the spirit of fear and afraid to confront, I'm talking about black people, our own prejudices. And white people are maybe afraid to talk to other people because they don't want to be seen as a racist. Listen, people, whether you're white, black, or other, people are people. You have to get off those eggshells. To my black people out there, if you want people to see you as a human being and as your equal, then treat people as your equal. You can't assume what a white person is a racist just because of the skin color,
Faith,
and they don't have to hear what you're saying.
Faith, so. I got to jump in here. It's great stuff. I mean, we're getting a college level education right here, but we are going to have to run for a break. God bless you. And Faith raises excellent points here. People are people. And a lot of people in this country, I would say an overwhelming majority, share our value system, black, white, Hispanic. Got to take a break here, 844-747-8868. You heard what Faith had to say. Agree, disagree? Give us a call, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Wow, I was really impressed with what Faith had to say. I mean, she brought a lot of truth to the table, and that's what this show is really all about here, folks. There are people on both sides who try to divide us by race, by our economic situation. And we just don't play that game here on this radio program. We just speak the blunt, honest truth. And if it offends somebody, well, so be it. You'll be able to get over it. Let's go to Memphis, Tennessee. Tony, listening to us on KWAM, first-time caller. Hey, Tony, what's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. I just had to call in. I what Faith had to say really kind of touched me, and it was it put a smile on my face because, like a lot of Americans, you know, we begin to lose hope, and we feel like we're so divided more now than ever. And you know, the left has this large microphone, and you know, we see us American our values under attack all the time. And it was nice to hear someone say that Americans are Americans, and that we look beyond race, and that they're starting to look at candidates, you know, not based on skin color, not voting based on skin color or race, but on principles and values, and that we as Americans, you know, need to come together, not be divided, and that we refuse to be grouped together. And I also like the fact that you talked about faith and, you know, values and things that make America a great country. And so it just was reassuring to me and kind of gave me some hope. Sometimes it's easy to feel hopeless with the far left media constantly tries to feed us day in and day out. So I wanted to tell you and her both thanks for trying to remind us all that we live in the greatest country in the world, and that, you know, if we refuse to eat their diet of garbage, that we'll get this country back on track again. So,
and Tony, if you're very welcome. And again, this is why we do this show. I think we have one of the most diverse audiences in all of talk radio. And a big part of that is because we don't shy away from talking about the faith issue. And that's ultimately what unites us. That's really what brings us all together. And that's what sets our nation apart from the others, that we are one nation under God. Tony, got to run. Great call. Randy in Georgia, hang tight. We're going to get to you. We've got a couple of lines open here. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. A lot of folks inspired by what Faith had to say. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. We'll be right back. We've got Randy in Georgia, James in Memphis want to respond to what Faith had to say, so you guys hang tight. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, though. Gary Black joins us, running for office in the state of Georgia. Gary, as I mentioned to you earlier in the show, is a rock-solid conservative. Gary, welcome back to the program.
Todd, it's been a little too long, but I'm glad to hear your voice, and thanks for the chance. If one more day of closing arguments, we'll go win a Senate race.
Yeah, let's talk about that Senate race, because Gary, had it not been for Herschel Walker, I think that you would be the undisputed front runner in that race.
Yeah, there are issues of that you can't deny 100% name ID, and you know that goes, Todd, but. Our team, Herschel had a ground game one time way back when. He doesn't have the ground game we have. And on the ground, it's very strong. I feel very confident about it tomorrow. Very grateful for, you know, all the way from hardworking folks that just turn out the vote to our staff, prayer warriors everywhere. And we feel very confident about a strong showing tomorrow.
You know, you have been out there from day one. You were praising President Trump and for the things that he did over the past several years. And yet Trump went with Herschel Walker. Of course, they have a longstanding friendship going back to the old USFL days. What is the message? What are you doing to try to convince voters in Georgia that you're the best pick for that spot?
Well, number one, you hit the nail on the head. Todd, it's voters in Georgia. It's not voters or elected officials or former elected officials from Florida or North Dakota or Kentucky that are going to decide this race. Georgians are very passionate about understanding who's running for office, who stands for the things that they stand for, and they want a, you said it a while ago, a proven conservative. And you know, President Trump's, he's done a lot of good things, but, you know, every so often, all of us goof up in our decisions. He's goofed up this time. And it's just a matter. Georgians are not going to be told who to vote for. And they're going to make a decision on their own. I've been very grateful, in serving as Commissioner of Agriculture. I've led our ticket 3 consecutive general elections with the highest percentage of vote. And that's not just rural. It's rural, suburban, urban. I've outperformed past senators on the ballot, past current and past governors on the ballot. And we expect to do very well as the proven person in this primary. Interesting thing, too, Todd. I think Georgia Republicans are waking up to the fact that you mean to tell me that tomorrow Herschel Walker will vote in the very first Republican primary of his life. Because, see, up until 2020, he never voted.
So what does that tell you about Herschel Walker? What does that tell you about Herschel?
There's not a commitment here. And when he loses, he's going to go back to Dallas. That's what's going to happen. And so what we have to do, everybody wants to fire Raphael Warnock. Instead, I asked a group of Republicans in Atlanta the other day, how many of y'all want to fire Raphael Warnock? Oh, my word, the whole place, 120 people, went crazy in the room. I said, well, if I could fire him today, I would drive and go meet him and say, you're fired. But see, you can't do that. You can't. It's not as simple as that. You have to win an election. And in order to win this election, you have to have somebody that's proven, somebody with a record. And also, that record can't be at the Irvin, Texas Police Department, right? They're poised to crush him. And so, not just he's not a representative of I'm glad he's been friends with the president. That's awesome. But he didn't even vote for Donald Trump in 2016. Your listeners, if anybody in Georgia hadn't voted yet, but the listener needs to understand, Herschel didn't vote for Trump. May have got paid to be on TV to talk about how important it was, but he himself did not even exercise. He's 60 years old. He's voted twice in his life. And so that's a level of commitment that I think people expect much better out of their leaders. And I think they'll prove that tomorrow with their turnout.
Gary, you showed up. You showed up for the debates. Herschel Walker did not. Why do you think Walker refused to debate?
Because his out-of-state handlers, Todd, all of that crowd, all of the vendors that have their straws sucking out of his campaign account, they said, no, you can't afford to go, man, because every time you get next to a microphone, it's a disaster. Because it is. I mean, he was asked not long ago, Todd, you may have seen this one. It was an online brief interview. And one of the kids asked him, said, by the way, how would you vote on the $1.2 trillion infrastructure package? His answer was, I don't know. As a matter of fact, that's a very unfair question to ask somebody like me. You must be an Alabama fan. That's very unfair to ask a question like that of somebody like me who doesn't have all the information. That's a real simple answer, Todd. $1.2 trillion package out of this liberal Congress and Joe Biden? The answer is no. That's what the answer was. No one wouldn't have voted for it. And so that's the pattern that we've seen all throughout this campaign. It's a, there's some personal tragedy involved in here. And you and I both know there's great redemption available to everyone. I'm thankful the Lord redeemed me. And there's forgiveness, you know, that abounds. So my dispute is not with that. My problem is the tragedy beyond the personal tragedy will be that we nominate someone who'll never win. And then the tragedy is Georgia loses this seat. The control of the United States Senate hinges upon what Georgians do. And so you have to nominate somebody that can actually win. Herschel Walker will never win. But I'm fully prepared, second one, to do this, not just day one, second one, to put some good things forward for Georgia and get our Senate seat back.
Well, Gary, best of luck to you out there. I mean, you're a great American, and no doubt about it, you've been a strong supporter of the president. The president was a supporter of yours, and you've got a great track record there. And the one thing that seriously troubled me through all of this, Gary, is the fact that Herschel Walker refused to get up on the debate stage. And I think you've laid out some pretty valid concerns that the voters need to consider going into the polling place, because it's going to be ugly. They're going to come after Herschel, and they're going to raise every single issue. And you're very kind and generous about some of those difficult things that have happened in Herschel's life. But those are going to be front and center in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution and every TV station in the state of Georgia.
They will, Todd. And the tragedy about it is that I can't even tell the complete truth about what has happened. And that gets into a discussion I've had, is that if he won't show up now, what makes you think he's ever going to show up if he were able to do this job? If he can't tell the truth now, then there's a pattern there that's not going to be, be telling the truth in the future. So it's a matter of folks have to consider all the way from domestic violence, can't tell the truth about your background or your resume. All of those things are poised. The Democrats have already purchased $24 million worth of advertising to start September 1st. But who knows what's going to happen starting June 1st if Herschel was the nominee. And I don't want to – look, Todd, I want people to vote for me. I had a man come up to me Friday at a huge economic development announcement. Got a new Hyundai plant coming to Georgia. Man came up to me and he said, look, I just got to tell you, I've never seen him before in my life. He said, my wife is voting for you because we want to vote for someone. We know what you will do. And we're going to vote for you. And so I'm about trying to earn those votes, and I'm grateful for the time today, Todd. And God bless you and what you do, and we're going to press on and have a very good day tomorrow.
Gary, best of luck to you out there on the campaign trail, and we'll see how things go tomorrow. So we've got a link to Gary's stuff on his website, toddstearns.com. Gary, thanks again, and good luck.
Thank you, Todd.
All right. Again, folks, Herschel Walker, great guy. Gary Black, great guy. But this goes back to a fundamental issue for me. If you're going to be running for the Senate, you need to debate your opponents. I don't care how far ahead you are in the polls. That's the right thing to do. And you got to get all the baggage out during those debates. Otherwise, the Democrats are going to hammer you with it. And as Gary Black said, you know, there are a lot of questions that are outstanding. But you know what? Like Matt Towery said, the name Herschel Walker, it's second to God in the state of Georgia. All right, look, I want to real quick here. I want to go to the phones. Randy in Georgia, WDUN, wanted to weigh in on this conversation we had with Faith a few moments ago. All right, Randy, what's on your mind?
Hey, Todd, how are you? My wife and I met you at the Smokehouse Barbecue last year in Gainesville.
Great a book signing event and delicious barbecue, by the way.
Yes, it was. Well, I just think that's the best phone call you've ever had, calling to your show. I was so taken by all the things that she said, and I've said for a long time probably the most discriminated against group of people were conservative blacks. And it's great to hear what she had to say, and she has an insight into the black community that probably, you know, not a lot of people have, and it was encouraging for me to hear that. We have black friends that we go to church with and we associate with, and I think we're going to be able to ask some questions that my wife and I have had, and maybe finally get some answers about some things that we've wondered about, and not be afraid of being called a racist. And so I hope you'll have her on. Let her be a co-host with you someday.
Well, Joe, she may have to battle Joe for Melody for that distinction.
Well, she might, but I was so impressed. She had such good insight, and I think they don't want us to know that there are people like her out there who support conservative and faith-based values like we do. I could never, ever, Todd, vote for somebody who was for abortion.
And look, Randy, neither could I. And that, for me, that's the deal breaker with Dr. Oz, yes, for example. That was the deal breaker. But to your point, you know, here in the Memphis area, majority minority city, and I'm telling you that the black community here is just as conservative as the white community is, especially on the culture war issues. But the problem is there really hasn't been an outlet to get that viewpoint out, which is one of the reasons I bought KWAM. It's an opportunity for people of all races, of all backgrounds, to phone in, let their voices be heard, and to know there really is another side to the story that the mainstream media in Memphis and really all across America, they don't want people to know about. So, you know, we do what we can. Hey, Randy, I've got a skedaddle here. Thanks for the call. Let's go to, real quick, James in Memphis, Tennessee, KWAM. Welcome to the program, James. What's on your mind?
Yes, I'd too like to give Faith a pat on the back, but I appreciate that conversation from her. I'm black myself. I voted for Trump twice, and there was no difficult reason why, because he was for veterans, and he was for not just giving money to Europe, and he wasn't for protecting all these countries that got enough money for themselves to protect themselves. And that's what the first thing he did when he came in. He said, y'all got to pay for this protection. And I really, really appreciated that from him. And I never did see that on the either side of the party. I think both sides are going to have war for whatever reason. they think war is good. But I really, and there's another, she brought up Margaret Sanger, and I never understood. At 74 years old, Vietnam veteran, I never understood why black people, whether they get an abortion or not, for whatever reason they get it. But for them to go head up for this lady named Sanger, evidently, for most of the thing, they just haven't read of who this lady was and what the root of all this was. And I fear, and when I hear someone else bring Margaret Sanger up in a negative way like she did, I really appreciate it, especially coming from Memphis, Tennessee. So I just want to say, Trump all the way. I'm really disappointed in Hirsch for not debating, because I agree with you saying you got to debate, and what flaws you got, it has to come out. So let's see what's going to happen with that. And no matter what, Kemp winning or losing, Donald Trump is still on time with 83 wins and 3 losses.
Yes, sir.
You can't deny that. And Donald Trump is a person that I read about long ago. He wrote this book, and he's really for this country. A lot of people are just not for America. The only thing they for is for getting in this government. I call it a big bureaucracy. As a Vietnam veteran, I know that the intelligence community lied about the Gulf of Tonkin, and they'll lie from here on out. Anytime you can blow up a ship and blame it on somebody else and have a war that I was in and 3 of my high school friends died in it. So I don't give no credence to no intelligence community, because they're the biggest liars on the planet. You have a great day, and Miss Faith, I'm listening for you, and maybe you need to get involved yourself with this political thing, because Memphis is going to dive straight. Everybody in Memphis is into emotional pickings. They into black pickings. They into race pickings. But nothing of substance that any black politician, even white politician, ain't no substance to none of them. Have a great day, and
James,
thank you for your show.
I got it. James and Faith, I think you guys have inspired an entire nation with your comments and your insight into what we need to be doing in this country. James, God bless you. Thanks for listening to KWAM in Memphis, Tennessee. And folks, what did I tell you? This is why talk radio is so important, because we need to have these conversations on the radio, and we're able to do that together. We got to take a break here. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. All right, people, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. We're glad to have you with us today. I want to give a shout out to our friends over at Ace Hardware. Remember the saying back in the day, Ace is the place with the helpful hardware folks? Well, it's also the place where you're going to find some great American patriots. So Ace Hardware is announcing that they plan to honor our fallen heroes this Memorial Day. And, man, what they're about to do is just so awesome. They're going to be giving away 1 million American flags on Saturday. Ace also plans to donate American flags to every VFW post in America. And what they want to do is they want to give those flags to the VFW so you can decorate the graves of your hometown heroes. I just think this is a wonderful thing. One of the interesting things about Ace Hardware is how they got their name. This is a fascinating bit of trivia. And it turns out that the company is actually named after the fighters in World War I known as the Flying Aces. So that's a pretty awesome thing. So Ace Hardware has a long-standing history of supporting our military and our service members, and God bless them. I actually shop at the Germantown Ace Hardware, which is a great, great place. And, given the choice, it's nice to be able to support a hardware store that actually supports America. Get out there, get your American flags at Ace Hardware. And by the way, they're free of charge. So you know what you need to do? Get yourself some hammers, get yourself some nails, some power tools, and let's support Ace Hardware. Hey, stick around, folks. Hour 3 coming up. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
Live Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to have you with us today. Go ahead and write down our telephone number, 844-747-8868. Again, that's 844-747-8868 if you want to call in on this hour of the program. So President Biden is, he's in a bit of turmoil. So he actually did the right thing, and then the administration walked it back. But President Biden was asked overseas if we were going to protect Taiwan if China decided to invade. Let's take a listen.
You didn't want to get involved in the Ukraine conflict militarily for obvious reasons. Are you willing to get involved militarily to defend Taiwan if it comes to that?
Yes.
You are.
That's the commitment we made.
Well, now the administration is walking back what the president said. Now, keep in mind, the main concern that a lot of people in this country have had is where we will draw that line. You've got Mitt Romney right now advocating for nuclear war with Russia over Ukraine. The United States is in a proxy war against the Russians in Ukraine at this moment. And the question has been raised multiple times. What happens if China makes a move on Taiwan? Do we at that point invade? Do we go in? Do we defend the Taiwanese against the invading Chinese? I want to go to the phones here. Mark in the Villages wants to weigh in on this topic. Mark, good to have you with us. What's going on?
Hey, Todd, you've had some good callers today.
We've had some great callers. So, Mark, there is a high bar here, sir, so you can't let us down.
Okay. Yeah, you know, you can always tell when this Biden, Obama, I call it Obama administration because we know who's running this country, is lying. Their lips are moving. Obama they couldn't even help Afghanistan or our Americans that they left in that country. They stranded the Ukrainians, and now they're going to defend Taiwan if China gets involved? That's a joke. You watch if the U.S. gets involved, then Russia's back into the picture, and you're back to what happened to Ukraine. This administration is a Prozac moment is what they are. And I'll tell you, this Biden administration picks and chooses who they want to help, who's going to line their administration's pockets the most. Also, this administration banks on clueless voters who know nothing about politics. Then when they get these people into office, they do nothing but steal the taxpayers' money. This administration's a joke. You're going to sit there and help people. You can't even help those innocent people that we got stranded over, the Americans that are in Afghanistan. What's going to happen is Russia's going to get involved, and then they're going to backpedal what they're saying. He doesn't know what the hell he's saying. I know one thing. Obama knows what he's saying.
Well, of course he does. And to that point, I mean, we are having to rely on European allies to provide the United States with baby formula. That's how appalling things have gotten in this country. We can't even take care of our own. We're asking Europeans to step in so that American babies don't go hungry.
And that's a complete joke. We should be, when Trump was in office, we didn't run through these kind of situations. We had things in place that got us taken care of. Now you've got this administration just destroying this country, creating a socialistic country. And you know, my girlfriend who's from Colombia says, isn't there anything you guys can do? Isn't there anything? There's only so much we can do. It all starts at the voting box. Just like over in Colombia and Venezuela, it all starts in the voting box. It's just, they're destroying this country, and something has to be done, Todd. And you're exactly spot on. You know, you're exactly spot on.
Mark, good call, as always. And we're going to have to watch it here, folks. Biden's debacles on the foreign stage, and thanks for the call, Mark. Biden's policies on the foreign stage are literally shoving us down a very dangerous path. Then you've got Mitt Romney writing in the New York Times, advocating for nuclear war. Romney says that NATO could engage in Ukraine, potentially obliterating Russia's military. The Utah senator, again, I'm reading here from the New York Times, the Utah senator also suggested that the West confront China and other Russian allied nations with an ultimatum. You are either with us or you are with Russia. You cannot be with both. Quote, Russia's use of a nuclear weapon would unarguably be a redefining, reorienting geopolitical event, Romney said. Any nation that chose to retain ties with Russia after such an outrage would itself become a global pariah. Romney warned that a cornered and delusional Putin could use nuclear weapons in the war against Ukraine, citing warnings from former Secretary of State Henry Kissinger, as well as a CIA Director William Burns. Burns warned in April that Putin's desperation could result in the use of tactical nuclear weapons or low-yield nuclear weapons. So what do we do at that point? I mean, do we engage? I mean, Russia's not stupid. They know that the United States is actually fighting this war, not the Ukrainians. Meanwhile, you've got Vladimir Zelensky, who's going off. He was at, was it the Cannes Film Festival? I mean, the country's been invaded, and he's at a film festival. This whole thing never really made much sense to me. It really doesn't. And the level of corruption in Ukraine, going back to the Obama years, and Joe Biden and Hunter Biden, the whole thing stinks to high heavens. But it concerns me that you have establishment Republicans suggesting that, yes, nuclear war is, in fact, inevitable in the region. Do you really think the Russians are going to stop there? What's the over-under that we could have nuclear bombs falling in this country? I mean, at that point, everything is off the table. Everything. They're playing a very dangerous game here, ladies and gentlemen, a very dangerous game. And that is why the Republicans have to step in. As a matter of fact, a majority of Republicans, there's a new survey out, a majority of Republicans say that Biden must be impeached if the Republicans take control of the House and the Senate. And for a whole litany of reasons. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. What do you do if you're Joe Biden? We've already pledged our support to Taiwan. Do we live up to our obligations with Taiwan and defend them from the invading Chinese? Or do we let them, or do we fight another proxy war? But again, these proxy wars are going to come back and bite this country on the behind. Because sooner or later, there will be American boots on the ground, if there are not already, in Ukraine. And there will be boots on the ground fighting this war in Taiwan when that day comes. And it's going to come. It's going to happen. Because no one is afraid of Joe Biden. Nobody. And they're laughing at Kamala Harris. And that's where we are right now as a country. All right, got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Look, folks, I don't have to tell you, America facing huge challenges. I mean, when you look at what's happening with inflation, crime rates, the worsening crisis at our border, look, this is why I joined the Association of Mature American Citizens, AMAC. America's only conservative 50-plus organization, and my friends at AMAC are fighting for us every single day on Capitol Hill. I want you to join AMAC. Join me. I've got a membership. You're going to love this. AMAC.us/Starnes. That's AMAC.us/Starnes, and you're going to start receiving amazing benefits, discounts on travel, cell phones, restaurants, all while fighting to preserve America and the causes that conservatives care about. You say, Todd, how much is this? Just $16 a year. You get to join forces with AMAC and 2.3 million Americans who share your values. I am a proud member of AMAC, and you can be one too. Go to AMAC.us/Starnes. That's AMAC.us/Starnes. All All right, folks, a little bit of breaking news to share with you. This coming in from 29 Palms, California, Marine Corps Ground Combat Center. There have been reports of shots fired. We're getting some confirmed information from the public information officers at the combat center that they have received those reports. The entire installation is on lockdown, and all personnel are required to shelter in place. So that's the latest. Any information, any updates, we will bring that to you. But again, there have been reports of shots fired at the Marine Corps Air Combat Center at 29 Palms, California. All right, let's get to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Charles in North Carolina, WSIC, the great affiliate there. Charles, what's on your mind?
Hey, good afternoon, Todd. Todd, as far as Joe Biden goes and impeaching Joe Biden if the Republicans take control of the House and Senate, I think that needs to be up there at the very top of the agenda for Republicans to do, along with, you know, trying to improve the economy, control the southern border, and other things to improve the lives of Americans from energy independence, you know, that as well. But I mean, Todd, I just don't think that we have 2 years left for Joe Biden to stay president and Kamala Harris the vice president. I mean, just the collateral damage that they've done to this country in 2 years is just, it's incalculable, and it's going to get worse. I mean, just today, other days you referenced in your program today, Joe Biden has announced that, you know, hey, it's going to be painful to transition to fossil fuels, but we're going to have to get there. I mean, this man is intentionally, and his party is intentionally destroying this country. And I went to, I was able to listen to Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson this weekend online, and he was great. But I just had a thought about something. You know, we're in a spiritual warfare too here, Todd. And, you know, it's been said that God chooses the ruler of nations, right?
That's true. Well,
when you look at what all has happened going back to 2016, Russia hoax, then it was fake impeachment, then it was the 2020 election. You see the evidence that's come out with 2,000 mules. I mean, a lot of Republican leaders, and maybe some people in Congress, leaders in Congress are listening to your show right now, and if so, then this calls for them. But, you know, I wonder if it's ever dawned on them that maybe God did choose Donald Trump, that he did actually win the election. But what's to say that man cannot undo what God did? And instead, they illegally installed somebody. And they know it. I mean, they know it. We know it. They know it. And by being that disobedient, that selfish, look at what they're doing to this country. And I say, Todd, that they have a duty, not only to their constituents, but to the Constitution and for the generations that have built this country, to stand up and do the right thing and impeach Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. And don't worry about the fallout that they may have to face as far as criticism, what the media is going to say about them. But just, you know, damn it, do the right thing, because it's too important. You mentioned about a civil war at the start of your show. Todd, I think we're getting close. I mean, I think we are really getting close. I think if what the scenario that you painted, if that plays out and the Democrats retain control, I just don't think people are going to stand for it.
Well, I would not be surprised, Charles, to see even some Democrats joining and jumping on board the impeachment wagon, especially with then the attention focused on the 2024 presidential race. Again, we've still got, 2.5 years of a Biden administration ahead of us. And even the Democrats, and especially the non-progressive Democrats, because, again, the progressive wing, AOC, Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, and in the Senate, you've got Bernie Sanders. They're the ones that are pushing this radical agenda. They think this is a good thing. They think this is a great thing that's happening to the country right now. But there are liberal Democrats who I suspect will be voting with the Republicans to boot Joe Biden out of office, because they understand their political lives are going to be on the line come 2024.
Yeah, and we're all feeling it. I mean, you know, white, black, young, old, everybody, you know, everybody's money's the same. Everybody's being affected by inflation, by gas prices, by what's getting ready to happen on our southern border. You look what's going on in Europe and the possibility of a nuclear war. So, I mean, if people cannot see that this guy is totally incompetent, as well as illegitimate, and something needs to be done before we just really get to the point of no return. If they haven't come to that conclusion yet, I don't know what else they need, you know?
Yeah, we will see. But again, these conversations are being had in private on Capitol Hill from the sources I'm talking to. Now, the question is, at what point, where is that line in the sand where the Democrats are going to say, all right, we got to go, we've got to send the delegation? If you remember back in the day, it was Goldwater who led the delegation of senior Republicans to the Nixon White House to tell the president, Mr. President, you don't have the votes and you don't have mine. So so who's going to be leading that delegation when that time comes?
Well, Todd, you're exactly right. That's exactly why Nixon resigned. It wasn't because of Democrats. It's because he lost Republicans.
He lost the votes.
So, yeah. Do you think that there's do you think that that's possible for Democrats in the Senate? I mean, do you think they have that much ethics left in them to do the right thing?
Possibly. And I say possibly because we're starting to see Democrats openly criticizing the administration right now on national television. So that tells me somebody's giving them the A-OK to do that. Somebody's saying it's OK to go out there and speak your mind about the president and his policies. So somewhere in leadership, those conversations within the Democrats are being had. But the issue is, how powerful is that progressive wing of the Democrat Party? And will they they're going to stand alongside Biden. The question is, what about everybody else?
Yeah, you're exactly right. Yeah. And Todd, what really worries me, too, is this upcoming election is I can see, Biden and the progressives don't seem to be willing to do anything to course correct right now. They're doubling down, which leads me to believe that they have something up their sleeve like they did in 2020. Or are they just totally that out of touch with the American people and they just don't care what people think?
Well, it could very well be something as simple as monkeypox or the China virus or a combo platter of the two that would force the administration to say, okay, everybody votes by mail-in ballot. If that happens, the steal is in. The fix is in. Right. Hey, Charles, I got to run. We're up against a break here. Appreciate the great call. Man, great calls today, folks. Give yourselves a pat on the back. 844-747-8868. Toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. May I direct your attention to the Todd Stern store? We have some great Father's Day gifts, whether it's our awesome ball caps, great T-shirts, or maybe a copy of my book, Our Daily Biscuit Devotions with a Drawl. We've got plenty of items for you to check out there. You're going to love them. ToddStearns.com. We got to take a break. We'll be right back, America. Right, folks, just to let you know, the breaking news item, we've got it up on the website, ToddStearns.com. Our team here monitoring developments out of the Marine Corps Base 29 Palms, where reports of shots fired. So that's all the information we have right now. But we are monitoring the story, and you can monitor it along with us over at ToddStearns.com. So look, again, a lot of primary races, and we're going to be jumping into a lot of them tomorrow on the program. We've been focusing today in the state of Georgia. Candace Taylor is running for governor. Candace was on the program a couple of weeks ago, and Candace is on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line right now. And I have to tell you, your message really resonated with listeners of this program.
Well, I tell you what, I love your listeners. They've been emailing me and telling me they support me. I think that's another place in donations at my website, and they're awesome.
Well, let's talk about the governor's race. We had Matt Towery on early in the show. He says that this thing could be going to a runoff. I'm curious. I know we're looking at the polling data, and you've got a lot of ground to make up, but what are you hearing out on the campaign trail?
Well,
Well, about a month ago, Todd, I told my supporters not to participate in the polls anymore. They kept me out of the debate. They put me in, they used polls I wasn't even in to decide who was going to be in the debate. And in 2018, all five contenders were on the debate stage, but they changed the rules this time because Governor Kemp wanted it just between him and Perdue because he's scared of me because I'm a grassroots candidate with over 2,000 volunteers and we're growing like crazy. We had a rally yesterday with Mike Lindell and Sue Peters and Macon, right above Macon, Middle Georgia. And we had 500 to 700 people there. It was massive. And just the grassroots game we have is phenomenal. And they're worried. And so I told my people to quit participating. I said, in fact, hang the phone up or choose Perdue or Kemp and throw their numbers off. And we've been doing that for a month. So they have no clue where we're polling on purpose.
I'm curious what it is about you that is resonating with the voters in the state of Georgia, because you don't have a political background.
No, I'm an educator. I work at the Board of Education. I've been a school counselor most of my career, and I'm an administrator now. But what resonates is I'm one of them. I'm a taxpaying, working class mother and wife. I love Jesus. And I am saying the things the rest of Georgians want to hear and what they want to say, and they don't have the platform or they're not brave enough to do it yet, but they're coming out. We're pulling that out of them. This is our government. It's a bottom-up government. We elect people to be public servants and trustees and to do our will. And we're going to have that in the state of Georgia. We watched our election be stolen. We've watched our legislators not listen and do the will of the people. And we're done. We're done with the games in Georgia. And we're going to elect people like us from now on.
You know, it's interesting, your message, which I love, Jesus, guns, babies. Man, you are catching holy you-know-what from the mainstream media over that slogan.
Yeah, Jesus, Guns, and Babies was not like a thought-out process for me. It's something I said when I was speaking before Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene about 2 years ago. I had 5 minutes. I had to get out my message, and I said, you know, I believe in everything you believe in. I believe in Jesus, guns, and babies. And when I said that, the crowd went wild. And she got up and said what Candace said, Jesus, guns, and babies, in the New York Times. They were there, and they quoted her and not me, which made me so mad. But anyway, it's a message that resonates because that's what the foundation of our country is. It's on the First Amendment right to worship Jesus freely. It's on the Second Amendment right to protect ourselves from a tyrannical government. And it is the right to life and the right to pursue happiness, which is in the Constitution. And that resonates because that is the hope for our land. It's freedom. And we're going to be free. We're not going to have tyranny. This is not a monarchy. This is a constitutional republic. It is ran of, for, and by the people. And We're going to show them what the sovereignty looks like in a state, and we're going to take Georgia back.
I have to say, Candace, you know, when you look at the other candidates, very, very wealthy men, very established, and it's almost as if they look down on folks who are not within that socioeconomic group, when in fact most Georgians are middle-class folks living paycheck to paycheck.
Absolutely, Todd. You're dead on the money with that. It's a kind of like pat you on the head, like you're white trash. I'm a good girl. I can't dig at anything on me because I'm a good person. I have made very good choices in my life. You know, we've had bad things happen. Bad things happen to people. In 2008, the recession hit, and my husband and I had just built a nice home. He lost his job, got laid off, and we couldn't sell our house, and we lost our home, and ended up filing bankruptcy and had a divorce over that financial strain. Second leading cause of divorce is finances. And so, you know, bad things happen to good people. But outside of that, I'm a very good person, and they can't find anything on me. I know how to build back, and I built back and very successful. And I'm a truth teller, and I'm not going to hold back. I'm not going to be apologizing. I'm unapologetic. And I'm going to stay that way because the people want a voice. They've been politically correct for so long, and they've been shut up, and they've been silenced. And you've got a liberal leftist, radical people over here on the left side that are the loud, the 1%. They're so loud and noisy, and you know, the squeaky wheel gets the oil, and they figured that out, and they are so obnoxious. And so the people that don't want to offend anybody, we just want to mind our business, raise our families, and be left alone, we have to get louder. And we're going to do that. And we are doing that.
Candace Taylor is on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, folks. She's running for governor in the state of Georgia, Republican primary. Candace, do you think Kemp is going to be able to hit that 50% mark, or do you think there is going to be a runoff?
Absolutely no, he will not. So in 2018, in the runoff, he was with Casey Cagle. He had 600,000 votes. He had around 400,000 voters. So you're thinking 400,000 voters, he's lost at least half of those because everybody is upset about 2020 and nothing's been done. So you say 200,000 votes, there's no way he's gained that much more support from that 200,000. And then you look at how many we've had already vote in the early voting in Georgia. We've had around 500,000 early votes cast for the Republican ticket already during early voting. And so those voters, that big increase in voters, 37%, most of those are grassroots votes. And who do you think they belong to? They belong to me. And so we're going to see a huge surprise tomorrow. We're going to rock this nation. They're going to look at Georgia and they're going to say, this girl with $250,000 raised for $25 donations, she just won and defeated multimillionaires in this governor race.
Wow. I it's a great story, and it reminds me of what just happened in Pennsylvania, where they still don't know who won the Senate race there.
Absolutely. Because of this voting system we have right now and how complicated it is, they've complicated it on purpose so they can manipulate and pervert our votes. And I'm going to tell you, this is why I'm in this race. I'm in this race because if we don't get voting in America fair and legal, we will not be a constitutional republic anymore. We're going to end up communist. And that is going to happen if they don't stop with this. It's greed. It's power. It has to end. And how does it end? The people stand up. We say, it's our government. Sit your butt down. We're done.
All right. I love it. Okay, Candace, we're going to leave it there. Where can folks go if they want to get more information about your campaign?
CandaceTaylor.com. It's K-A-N-D-I-S-S, Taylor.com. We're doing text messaging. We're doing about $30,000 push right now. $30,000 push with 1 million text messages we're sending out to voters. So y'all contribute if you can. We'd love to have your support. We are going to win. It's very exciting.
All right, Candace, great having you on the program again, and best of luck to you tomorrow out on the primary day.
Thank you, Todd.
Okay, there you go. And a lot of Georgia voters, Georgia listeners, rather, and Georgia voters listening to this program. What do you guys think? I'm curious, you folks in Georgia, about Candace Taylor. She is really a Kathy Barnett-style candidate. And, again, unproven. She is not a politician, a career politician. She actually works for a living. And she's making a go of it down there from South Georgia. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Our good friend Mike Lindell is at it again. He loves giving listeners of our radio program some incredible deals and great discounts. And Mike right now is having a blowout slipper sale of the year. If you don't have these MyPillow slippers, you don't know what you're missing. Your feet, I'm telling you, even your left feet are going to think right because they're so conservative and so comfortable. I know that made no sense, but they're very, very good slippers. By the way, for a limited time, you're going to save $90 on a pair of my slippers. It's a great deal. It took Mike 2 years to develop these slippers, and you're going to love them. Get this. Even if you look, you're going to get the slippers. You're also going to get a free copy of Mike's book, but you have to use my promo code STARNS. Go to MyPillow.com/STARNS, MyPillow.com/STARNS. Get yourself some slippers. Read the book. It's going to change your life, and your feet are going to thank you. Trust me on this. MyPillow.com/STARNS. We'll be right back. All right, Whoopi Goldberg's upset. Man, those squawking magpies on The View. Way too much testosterone in those ladies. So, over the weekend, the Archbishop of San Francisco announced that Nancy Pelosi would no longer be eligible for communion. So she would not be able to take communion at the Catholic Church because she believes it's okay to kill unborn babies. And the Catholic Church says, well, you can't do that. You can't take a position like that in public against your own church. So anyway, I said, no communion for you, lady. And now Whoopi Goldberg is weighing in. Here's what she had to say.
Welcome to The View, y'all. The abortion rights battle is starting to blur the lines between church and state. The Archbishop of San Francisco is calling for Speaker Nancy Pelosi to be denied receiving communion because of her pro-choice stance. He's one of the priests who also called for President Biden to be denied sacrament. This is not your job, dude. That is not, you can't, that is not up to you to make that decision.
Well, actually, Whoopi, dear, it is. That's the whole point of being a bishop. You get to decide who gets communion and who doesn't. You know, it's not Oprah. Oprah's not in charge of the Catholic Church. You get communion. You get a wafer. You get a wafer. You get juice. By the way, I will say this about the Catholics. They do communion pretty good, actually. You know, you get the wafer, and then you get, like, wine. You know, in the Baptist Church, and trust me on this one, you get the grape juice. And it's not even the good grape juice. It's not the Welch's grape juice. It's the watered-down cheap grape juice that basically tastes like grape Kool-Aid. And then you get the stale little pillowy crunchy pocket that always gets stuck in your tooth as you're trying to chew the, you know, the body of Christ. I'm just saying, it's... I'm not criticizing the Baptist. I'm just saying our denomination could do a better job of communion. That's or as we call it, the Lord's Supper. Yes, I know I'm probably creating a controversy where there is no controversy, but I'm just saying, you know, we can up our game a little bit. All right, State Farm is under fire. That's the insurance people, the good neighbors. They're being creepy neighbors. State Farm is launching a program that will enlist hundreds of volunteers to pass out LGBTQIA-themed books to teachers, community centers, and libraries. And some of these books are targeting kids as young as kindergarten. It's part of a new project called the Gender Cool Project. State Farm says they want to help diversify classroom, community center, and library bookshelves with books that will bring clarity and understanding to the national conversation about being transgender, inclusive, and non-binary. A whistleblower sent Consumers Research an email that said, and this went out to all State Farm agents in Florida, quote, the project's goal is to increase representation of LGBTQIA plus books and support out communities in having challenging, important, and empowering conversations with children ages 5+. So State Farm, and we go, this goes back to something we talk about all the time with our friend Art Alley, who is founder of the Timothy Plan. If you are supporting organizations like State Farm, then your money that you're giving to State Farm is being used to buy these kinds of books and to support this kind of grooming. And I got a problem with that. I hope you have a problem with that. Nationwide, approximately 550 State Farm agents and employees will have the opportunity to donate a 3-book bundle to their local teacher, community center, or library of their choice. In other words, this could very well be happening in your town, in your community. We don't know where the 550 State Farm agents are. I wonder what would have happened if the State Farm agents, somebody came up and, let's say you're a State Farm agent and you wanted to give out a Bible story book to the teachers or the community centers. How do you think State Farm would have reacted then? The 3-book bundle is part of the Gender Cool collection. In the book Non-Binary, that's the name of the book, Non-Binary, a character named Gia is introduced to young readers as a transgender girl who uses she, her pronouns. Quote, when you're born, a doctor looks at you and says it's a boy or it's a girl based on your body, but gender isn't that simple. You see, when I was born, the doctor said it's a boy, but that wasn't true. I mean, if you're 5 years old and reading this kind of crap, you're going to get pretty confused. And that's the whole point. They want confusion. Quote, gender is how you feel in your heart and mind, but it may not match what the doctor says when you are born, the book reads. And this is what State Farm is wanting your 5-year-old child to read. Beyond State Farm, Gender Cool has many other major American companies as partners. I want you to hear these. And again, what you do with your money, is your hard-earned money, is your business. But you need to know that if you're supporting these organizations, you're supporting this grooming and indoctrination, and that's what it is. I mean, if you're telling a 4 or 5 year old kid that doctors can't tell the difference between male and female, that's indoctrination. So the following companies are involved in this project: Dell, that's the computer people, Nike, NBC Universal, Adobe, General Mills, Capital One, HP, Bank of America, Bayer, Prudential, Oracle, USDA, and Allstate. Unbelievable. But this is what's happening, and it's pretty disgusting. The nation's oldest consumer protection agency is launching a campaign advertisement targeting State Farm for its progressive corporate activism. Instead of their iconic, "Like a Good Neighbor, State Farm is there," the video ad reads, "Like a Creepy Neighbor, State Farm is there." That's true. I mean, it's a fair point. Anyway, we'll have info up on our website about this story and many others. Don't forget, the newsletter comes out here in about 90 seconds. So now you have an opportunity. Head over to ToddStearns.com and sign up for our free newsletter. And you're going to get all sorts of great information, stories that we talk about on the radio program, and it's free of charge. And by the way, one of the few conservative websites that has the mark of approval from even the far left fact checkers. You want to know why? Because our team works hard to get the right information to you. All right, folks, get out there. Been a great day. We're going to do it all over again tomorrow, primary day. Get out and vote America. This is the Todd Stearns Show.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.